Father, we just thank you so much for your presence in this room right now. I thank you, Father, that you are so faithful, that where two or more are gathered together, you are right there with us. And your word says that when two agree upon anything, it will be done for them by their Father in heaven. So as Mom was saying, this is done and sealed in Jesus' name. And there is nothing the enemy can do to take that away from us. And we just give you the praise and the glory for this anointing that is here today, Father. We just praise you for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you. We're continuing on with our offering, our tithes and offering of having a grateful heart. And I think the Lord's trying to tell us something today, because as Steve was reading all the things that that Jesus did for us, the passage of scripture the Lord brought me to was Psalms 103. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up. And it reads like this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That's the reason our hearts should be rejoicing. That's the reason our hearts should be grateful. That's why we can bless the Lord, is because of all these things that we're going to go through that he has done. Yes. It says, "Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities." Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves, we've been forgiven. That's huge, right? When you go to give your tithes and your offerings, it shouldn't be with an ungrateful heart. It should be with a grateful heart that Jesus came, died on the cross, so that you and I can have eternal life in him. And not just eternal life in him, but we don't even have to deal with the weight of the guilt from the sin. It says, when you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you. When I put something dirty in my washing machine, I don't expect it to come out of the dryer with that same thing on there, right? No, it was taken care of in the washing machine. Amen? And that's what we've got to stop. We've got to start reminding ourselves that we have been cleansed. So when the devil tries to bring up your past, you tell him, "I'm sorry, I don't remember that anymore, because my Savior doesn't remember that anymore. That's in the blood. Go talk to Jesus." Amen. So he forgives of us of all of our iniquities. Who heals all our diseases? Who heals all our diseases? We can say amen because we know that we're cleansed, but we are also healed of all our diseases. If there's been a disease that's been put on you by a doctor with a label, you tell him, "Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I know how to pray now, but the word of God says I'm healed." Amen. And sometimes it may take time for those symptoms to turn around, but you keep, like we learned this weekend, you keep your shoes of peace on and you tell the devil, "I'm not moving. Amen. Not moving. I'm going to stand and stand and stand some more."
That's right.
Amen. He heals all our diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. That's the things that should have come against you. The things that I believe when we get to heaven, the Lord go, "Look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and look at this." All the times that the enemy had harm and destruction and evil things against us, angels were surrounding us, and we went right through it.
Yes.
Right through it. I was just saying that. It reminded me of my grandma and my great aunt loved to go garage selling. I don't know where I get it from, but... Maybe them. It's in the family genes, right? And in their latter years, their driving was, let's see how I can say this. It's a good thing they prayed before they left the driveway in those latter years. And I remember them both telling us the story, how they had gone out garage sailing, and my aunt had made a turn that was a wrong turn. And a car was coming straight for them, and they both described it the same way. We could feel this rush of wind, and we both looked up and went, "Where'd the car go? Where'd the car go?" It should have been destruction for both of them, but the only thing they felt was the wind, and the car was gone. I'm telling you, when you believe in the power of God and you trust Him and can have childlike faith that can believe for anything, He can protect you and literally make a car go through you without touching you. Amen? And I know that we're crazy. I know that. Maybe my aunt a little bit. No, just kidding. But my grandma, man, she prayed for things. I've shared before that she got her car, the rear of her car slammed into. And she told the Lord, I don't have the means to take care of this. And so she prayed for the car and went to bed. And she told my uncle about it. And he's like, Mom, that's not how God works. And she said, I'm just saying, I'm a tither and a giver. And He says He takes care of everything. He went out there with her the next day and there's no bump, no dent in the car. But you see, we only get what we ask for. And we only ask based on who we really think God is. Amen? So we can bless the Lord. Oh, and my grandma always was grateful. She was always praising the Lord, thanking Him for being her provider, thanking Him for being the one who took care of her. She's like, I'm a widow, You take care of me. Amen? So if you're a widow in this room, guess what? You have a heavenly Father that takes care of you. Amen? He protects your boundaries. He blesses you. He provides for you. You're getting more than I thought. I got to, okay, focus. Okay. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Thank you, Jesus. We had some good things this last week, didn't we, girls? Our mouths were satisfied. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. He loves to give us the extras. That's what it means. When He satisfies your mouth with good things, it's not just spiritual things. He just wants to bless you. Not just your needs, but He wants to throw in some extra blessings. Amen? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When you are blessed, when you have extra blessings, what does your heart feel like? It's just light and soaring, and you're overwhelmed, but it's just this lightness, right? That's how we can soar like eagles, is because He's crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and He's satisfied us, and it just is a natural response that you feel lifted, right? And guess what? All of these things should help us to go back to the beginning where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's saying you have so many reasons to be grateful. Stop looking at the things that are going wrong or the things that look like they're going wrong. Stop looking at the negative. Start focusing on all the good things that He has been doing. Because you know what? All those other things will eventually fall in line because you are a tither and you are a child of God. Amen? So we can give all those other things to Him and we can bless the Lord with grateful hearts. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank You so much for this word. I thank You, Lord, that we can be so grateful, Father, for all the things that You've done. Help us not to belittle the fact that Jesus came and died on the cross for us. That we could boldly now approach Your throne of grace, that we don't have something separating us. We can be close with You. Father, I just pray we wouldn't take for granted the things that even You've done in the past, the healings that You've done in the past, the miracles, the signs and the wonders. When the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy our faith and our hope and our joy, Father, I thank You that within us would rise praise, that we would begin to bless You, Lord, because of all the things You bring to our remembrance that You have already done. And if You've already done those things in the past, You are still doing them today, and hallelujah, amen, You will do them again tomorrow. And Father, I thank You that when good things are poured into our lives, Father, that we would praise You for that. And Father, we'd remind ourselves, if we want to mount up with wings as eagles, then we got to be ready to receive the blessings. To receive the goodness, to receive the loving kindness and the tender mercies. Father, that we receive those things from you so that we can soar. And what does that do? It's a testimony. Because when you're so excited about something you've gotten, you just want to share it with someone else. So that grateful heart just spills over into your conversation with other people, and the glory returns to You, Lord. We thank you for this today. As we give our gifts back to you of tithes and offerings, Father, it is with grateful hearts for all that you have already done and all that you're doing and all you're yet to do. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, let's pray over this message and we'll get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Oh, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you today for being who you are, sir. We yield ourselves to you in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Well, I really felt stirred to spend the next about 4 Sundays on a message entitled, "What is that in your hand?" Hallelujah. You know, we're heading into the holiday season and elections and all these kind of things. And, you know, our God is so awesome and so powerful. But sometimes the things that he does are so simple, right? He's so awesome and so powerful, and yet he's so practical and so simple, right? And the foundation text for this message is going to be Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing on you. Now, of course, I'm talking to born-again people. I'm not talking to anybody that's not saved. If you are saved, if you're born again, then you qualify for this. Amen, right? The Lord. If he's the Lord, it means he's your Lord. You notice that the scripture that says in the end, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you know what the Lord showed me? He said it doesn't say every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Because there are people, he's not going to force anybody to declare Jesus is their Lord. They're simply just going to have to say, he's him. I rejected him, but he's him, not me. I'm just using that as an example, you understand, right? Jesus, somebody say, he is my Lord. He's not just the Lord, he's my Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's the best decision, no matter what challenges you might be facing in your life today, that is the best decision you have ever made. You're going to be grateful. You're going to give yourself pats on the back for eternity. You know, I know Jesus did this all for me, but Steve, you chose. You woke up. Right? Did you hear about that meeting, that rally this past week where there was a Kamala Harris was speaking, and it was, I think, at Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, and she was promoting all of the abortion agenda, the murdering of unborn children as the platform for why we should all vote for the left. And there was one person that positioned themselves about 25 yards from her that said, Jesus is king! And her reply was, you're in the wrong rally. Now that should clue in Christians who are so-called Christians for Kamala or whatever they call that, right? They have a phrase for it. No, that's, you're in the wrong rally. And someone on the EMIC chat this morning, because I go watch their live, and you know, sometimes people even get in the chat with ulterior motives. And nothing against Kamala Harris or Obama. We pray for them to be saved, right? But what they're broadcasting is straight out of hell. I have no other way to say it, right? Right? It's just, it smells like the devil. And we're in this chat this morning, and somebody got it slipped in and just started, Harris for president, Harris for president, like 10 times in a row. And within about 5 seconds, it disappeared. There's somebody that's watching the chat. And later on, this other guy comes in on the chat. He's like so-and-so from Texas. He's from Texas. Glory to God for Texas, right? And he said, Jesus is king. And I'm in the right rally this morning. And everybody's like, yeah, amen, brother, amen, amen, right? So if Jesus is your Lord, then you qualify for this, and don't let anybody talk you out of it. No, not even yourself, right? Deuteronomy 28:8. By the way, now I got to stay on track. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. What could that be? Banks, bank accounts, investments, your family, right? Your savings accounts, whatever. And in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You notice there, he doesn't say to all to which you set your backside. The Lord will bless you in everything to which you set your hand in. No. Somebody say, set your hand, right? And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Somebody say glory, right? So this message is entitled, What is That in Your Hand? And we're going to look at a number of examples in the next few weeks. But first of all, let's break down some of these words. I didn't realize there were so many words in the Hebrew for words like set. In tennis, they call it game, set, match, which I've been learning that for the past few years, right? Set means things like ascending out, right? Presentation, seizure, like you're seizing something, right? A business to be discharged, to lay, to put, sending forth, to set. Okay, and then the word hand means things like a hand, the open one, indicating power. Somebody say power, means, and direction. It means words like dominion, enough, fellowship, force, ministry, service, draw with strength, times. How many know in these times we need Jesus? In the times we're in, we need him right with us, don't we? We need to be fellowshipping with him. We need to be drawing from his strength. These are all things, if you'll notice, that Jesus has accomplished on our behalf, right? To draw with strength, times, work. There's work involved, right? Yield. Amen? So we're talking about setting our hand. Really, we're talking about setting our hand with him. Somebody say, I'm with him. I still see some bumper stickers that are like 8, 12 years old that say, I'm with her. No. Somebody say, I'm with him. I'm with Jesus, right? And I want to look at specifically today, we're going to look at Moses. We might be talking about Moses for some time in the next months ahead, right? And things that God showed Moses. But you can look at Exodus chapter 3 and 4, specifically chapter 4, and we might look at chapter 14. But most of us are aware of Moses' background. To have your name in the Bible is a great honor, but it's also very exposing. You just ask David, right, or Moses. Or, you know, most of the characters of the Bible, I loved watching Flashpoint this past week, Flashpoint Live, and it was in Bedford, Texas with Pastor Larry Huck. Pastor Larry and Tiz were hosting Flashpoint, my mentors from years ago. And man, they're still themselves. It was so great to hear them and talking with Gene Bailey and Hank and Pastor Hank and all these things. But Pastor Huck went right into addressing Christians that have issues with leaders like Mr. Trump. And he's like, listen, if you look at this book, you'll see God uses imperfect people. And he started going into Peter and talking about himself, things that God had brought him out of. And it's like, yeah, he's so powerful and yet he's so practical, so simple, right? So Moses, amen? He grew up in an atmosphere, it was just a miracle that he grew up at all, Because those children of Israel had been living in Egypt for 400 years. But Rabbi Shulam reminded me that it was not nearly that whole time was not, the majority of it was not in slavery. The majority of it was appreciation for their service to Egypt, right? From Joseph. But in the, I think it was the previous 40 years or so, they had gotten a new pharaoh that just kind of went to the left, killing babies, right? Especially the boys, you know the story. And Pharaoh, or Moses' mother, miraculously saved him. And he was saved out of the water. Moses means from the water, out of the water. And was raised in Pharaoh's household by Pharaoh's daughter. But somehow he knew, growing up, I'm one of them. And they began to obviously treat them poorly and enslave them. And, you know, terrible things were happening, abuses and government overreach, whatever you want to call it, right? And one day Moses is out roaming around and he sees this Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And Moses and killed the guy. And buried him in the sand. Right? And then somehow, even before social media, before smartphones, word got out. And then he had to get out because Pharaoh now was going to come after him. That was a crime, right, against Egypt, and he was going to have to die. So he escapes for his life out in the wilderness. You know the story, right? Meets Jethro, marries Zipporah. And it's years and years out in the wilderness with these people that he just is now protecting and helping them shepherd sheep. And he's wandering through the wilderness one day. And I love this image of this bush that's being burnt. It's not being consumed, but it's on fire. And he goes up to the bush to look at it. And an angel calls out to him. Right? God is calling him. Somebody say God was calling him. Right? And he had other issues. He had speech impediments. He had a dark past, murdered somebody. Right? Just things he was ashamed of. Like I think we maybe all of us can think of one place or one group of people or one that I would never want to go back to. Because they know me. Right? And here's Moses. And then we have, the verse in chapter 4, verse 2. Let's just look at Exodus chapter 4. You know, we're not in a hurry, right? Exodus chapter 4. Genesis, Exodus. Pretty easy to find Exodus. Then Moses answered and said... Now, this is after he's speaking with God, who's calling him out from this bush, right? Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. Remember, God tells him, my people need to be delivered. I hear their voices. They're calling out to me. I need you to go to Egypt. Moses wants to do, right? And he loves his people. He feels for them, but I'm not the guy. Right? Moses answered and said, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Now he's talking, he's got two things, right? He's got Egypt, but he's also got the Hebrews. They both are not going to want to hear anything I got to say. Right? What if they say, the Lord hasn't appeared to you? Who do you think you are? You can't even talk right. Right? T.D. Jakes did a message at New Beginnings years ago in regards to this. He called it a stick and a stutter. Oh, great times. And he said, verse 2, here we go. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? See, Moses has this long list of reasons why he doesn't qualify. And the Lord asks him a very simple question. What is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. Somebody say, what is that in your hand? Right? And read a couple more verses. So God said to him, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. The Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it. Somebody say, take it by the tail. He reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God is of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and God of Jacob has appeared to you. So he's telling Moses, what's in your hand? That rod that you have in your hand is going to be all you need. That's what you're going to use. That's what I'm going to use. I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use what's in your hand. Somebody say, what's in your hand? Right? And then we have all these examples from Moses' life. And you'll notice that, you know, sometimes when we have issues or still struggling to see it, to envision it, that God will put someone else close to you that will go with you. And so he brings Aaron alongside of him. Right? And Aaron has his own rod. So he brought somebody alongside of him to go with him that talks better. But God told Moses, he said, when you go before Pharaoh, you will be like God, and Aaron will be like your prophet. So in other words, you're still the guy. Because see, Pharaoh, in that culture, they looked at him as God. He had a God complex, big time. And that was the culture, right? So verse 20, so he's using Moses to get his people delivered, get his people free. And it came from what's in your hand? A stick. A rod. Amen, Sherry Lynn. That should make us chuckle, right? A stick, a rod, a simple thing that God took and used to get a nation delivered. From what was in his hand, right? Verse 20, it said, I got them listed out here for you, many of them. Moses took his wife and his sons, set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took, what does it say? The rod of God in his hand. So see, that's the first thing to note, is when God asks you what's in your hand, the first thing that we need to do is commit that thing to him. Right? What are you talking about? Well, is there a gift you have? Do you have, for what are you doing every day? Do you have a job? Do you have something you're doing, a task? Maybe you're a parent, a grandparent, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, an employee, a business person, a minister. That's what's in your hand. That's one thing that God can use if we'll commit it to him. Right? So Moses took the rod of God. He's packing for this trip to Egypt, right? I mean, they didn't have station wagons and SUVs and U-Haul. He had a donkey. But don't forget to bring the rod. Can you imagine the checklist? Got Zipporah and the kids and the donkey and some food. Is there something? What's missing? The rod! Get the rod! Amen. The rod of God was in his hand. And then chapter 7, verse 9. Okay, now we're going to skip around a little bit. When Pharaoh speaks to you saying, show us a miracle for yourselves, you shall say to Aaron. Somebody say, he's supposed to say this to Aaron. Right? Take your rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So this isn't even Moses' rod. So Moses is still apparently struggling with visioning himself as the guy. So God says, okay, just tell Aaron to bring his rod, and you tell him to take his rod and throw it down. And it happens, right? You know the story. The rod falls down before Pharaoh and his magicians, and they do the same. But Aaron's rod swallows up the other snakes. Somebody say, that's powerful, man. From something that was in his hand. Right? Amen. Verse 20 in chapter 7. Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters. This is another one, right? Moses and Aaron did so. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters and that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. This is powerful stuff. Just by what's in your hand. Then chapter 8, verse 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Here he goes again. Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the whole land of Egypt. So there it goes, right? Well, now about now, I think Moses is getting a clue. Right? Because as we proceed, check this out, verse 16. Well, this is still Aaron. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod, strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land. See, this is the process of deliverance. And it all came from what's in your hand. One man saying yes, right? Even in the midst of his issues and reasons why. Here we go, verse 29. Or verse 23, chapter 9. Moses stretched out his rod. Okay, he's finally like, okay, I'm going to use my rod now. Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Somebody say, what's in your hand? In chapter 10, verse 13. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt. And the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought locusts. So this is the process of God delivering his people from one simple, practical thing. What's in your hand? And I'll even bring somebody else alongside of you to go with you if he has to, right? Amen. And then in chapter 14, they've been released. This is the Red Sea. Right? They got the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh coming up behind them to try to kill them again. And the people are griping and complaining and why did we could have died in Egypt? All that stuff, right? And it says, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground in the midst of the sea. And we all know that's exactly what happened. Through one thing, what's in your hand? And then one thing in Hebrews chapter 9. This is pretty powerful as well. I think I actually have this one marked. Yeah. Verses 1 through 4. This is Paul speaking years and years later, right? Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. We're talking about the temple of God here, the tabernacle of God. Very holy, holy, holy things, right? And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, right? Which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna. Somebody say, Aaron's rod that budded, right? And the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim, the glory overshadowing the mercy seat of these. The point is, God took that thing that was in their hand, Moses and Aaron, and he took a chunk of that staff that was in Aaron's hand, and it made it a part of the Ark of the Covenant. One of the holiest things in the history of holy things. What's in your hand? Isn't that amazing? Right? Hallelujah. And we're gonna close with this, and we'll come back to it next week again. But Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, the Amplified Classic says this. Because we're talking about what's in your hand, right? Because I think it's easy for a lot of us to belittle what's in our hand. But if we're using it for the glory of God, man, it's very holy, for one thing, and it's very, very powerful. We look at just this little room this little group of us that meet together. It's a holy thing to God. This little sliver of time during the week is what's in our hand as a body. And I believe we're honoring God with it. And so I believe there's a glory storm coming out of this place, right? But Proverbs 16, verse 3 says this, roll your works, everything you do, everything you put your hand to, right? Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. And He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. Hallelujah. What's in your hand? Let's all stand up we're gonna pray and close today. But I just want us to think about that. I want us to ask the Lord. Because maybe it's not, like I said, it's so powerful and yet it is so simple. So powerful and profound and yet so practical. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show each one here, each one that hears this message, what is in my hand. Hallelujah. What is it that I'm putting my hand to? That I'm setting my hand to. And right now, Father, in Jesus' name, each one of us, we just say, Lord, we commit that thing to you for your use, to get the gospel preached, to reach people for Jesus Christ. And one thing very specific that will come up, not just today, but in days to come, as Americans, American citizens, there's one very special thing that is in each and every one of our hands who is of above 18 and over. It's called a vote. It's called a vote. And Father, in Jesus' name, we commit to you as a body to use our vote to be a voice for those who have no voice. To be a voice for those yet unborn. To be a voice for generations coming. To be a voice for children. To be a voice for those who are being trafficked. Children that are being trafficked and abused right here in our own nation. We will use what you've put in our hand, our vote, to be a voice that God can take it and set a nation free. Glory to His name forevermore. Somebody say, my vote matters. My vote counts. There's spiritual force behind it. Glory to God forevermore. And we bind you, Satan, from tampering with the election processes in this nation. We bind you from election fraud, election corruption, theft of elections in swing states or any states. Or anyone, like over in Oregon, where they're trying to even create a way of creating averages where you might not even qualify to run over there if what they're pushing gets through, kind of like up in Alaska, where they just give you a list and you pick little averages and they somehow, by their own selection, decide who even is qualified to run. We take authority over evil things in this nation. And we will use what you have put in our hands, the vote. Hallelujah. And we'll see you, God, set a nation free. Set a nation free through what is in our hand. In Jesus' mighty name, In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen.